In the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen. Soon after I was installed as the 34th rector of St. Paul's Key West, many years ago on June 5th, 2021, Ken Baggy, our sexton, and his friend Gail welcomed Becky and me to Key West with the gift of some sourdough potato flake starter. And not only the starter itself, mind you, but also every single thing one needs in order to properly tend the starter and bake delicious varieties of sourdough bread. Bread bowl, baking pans, wooden utensils, flour, yeast, potato flakes, all of it. I loved it. I love a kit, and it came in a crate. I love a kit. They brought us a bread baking kit. An amazing and wonderful gift. In recent weeks, Becky has taken up bread baking, something she did for years ago in Atlanta. Following Gail's precise and comprehensible directions, she has been turning out truly delicious loaves of different varieties of sourdough. Some with cinnamon and raisins, a delicate sugar glaze on top, some plain, some with whole wheat or granola added to experiment with texture and flavor and nutrients. And some of you all might not have had breakfast or brunch yet, so I'll stop talking about how good it is. But before I stop, isn't the smell of baking bread truly a wonderful aroma? To wake up and smell the house full of bread baking aroma is delightful. Good dough prepared just so, turned into something both satisfying and tasty. And success or failure in bread baking really comes down to simple details. What goes into the dough makes a difference for sure. And mixing the ingredients well also matters. And then kneading the dough, working with it matters. If one of these three things, ingredients, mixing, kneading, is off or absent, out of kilter, out of alignment, the bread may still smell great while baking, but it might not actually be edible. Attention to simple but crucial details means the difference between a delight for the senses and the baked equivalent of a hockey puck. Today is the third of five consecutive Sundays when, in the midst of our year with the Gospel of Mark, we have gospel passages from the sixth chapter of the Gospel of John, and they are all about bread one way or another. We began 2 weeks ago with the feeding of at least 5,000 people beside the lake we know as the Sea of Galilee, followed by Jesus walking across that same lake to catch up with his disciples as they were rowing a boat back to the other side. Last week, we encountered the beginning of Jesus' great discourse on bread that goes on for nearly the remainder of this sixth chapter of John. Today, we have repeated what we heard last week in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. And today we hear also his repetition of it in verse 48. And also this variation of it in verse 51. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Perhaps a better translation is, I am the living bread that is coming down from heaven. Present continuous. I am the bread of life. The first of the metaphorical I am sayings of Jesus in John's gospel. The other sayings in the order they appear are, I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I am the true vine. These kinds of statements by Jesus the Christ about himself are only found in John's gospel. In John, throughout the Gospel of John, we encounter the Easter Jesus, the resurrected Christ, alive again, triumphant, confident. That theme, those characteristics, pepper through all the Gospel of John. This is why we always read John in Eastertide with the Easter Jesus. And this is why we have John during this time of year in the Northern Hemisphere, when the summer is thick and ripe, when the growing season is ending and produce of many kinds is at its peak, a season of completion and fullness and joy, such as the Gospel of John presents. I am the revealed name of God in Hebrew scripture. The First Testament, remember? Revealed to Moses on Mount Sinai, also known as Mount Horeb, the mountain to which Elijah, in our first reading today, heads after being well rested and well fed. I am. Not I was, not I will be. In the present reality of the living God, past, present, and future are all held together in the eternal now, which is all we ever have. When we grasp this reality, our awareness expands, and we are raised to a different level of consciousness and comprehension. For this reason, a better translation of the verse we heard a few moments ago, I will raise them up on the last day, is actually the I am will raise you up this very day to this new awareness, to this different way of understanding who God is in the world, if we are able to receive that good news. In the responses of the Jewish community's old guard religious leaders to Jesus' declaration, I am the bread of life, we see that his use of language equating himself with God provokes a hostile reaction. We can understand it. He was basically declaring himself divine. They took his words as blasphemy. Who does he think he is? That's Joseph's boy. We know his mama and daddy. Where does he get off saying that he has come down from heaven, that he has come from beyond time? They are scandalized by what he has said. Jesus responds to them with more statements that are completely incomprehensible to people who are stuck inside an old system, including us, if we are stuck and clinging to models and methods that no longer work, that no longer serve. Jesus says that God's own self, the I am, is the living bread that comes from beyond time. He says, whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And he says that the bread that the I am gives for time and eternity is the very flesh of Jesus the Christ. The old guard religious establishment within the wider Jewish community in first century Palestine are not the only ones complaining in today's readings. The prophet Elijah, in our first reading, is on the run for his life. He has done what he understood he was supposed to do, and then Queen Jezebel sends a messenger just before where our reading picks up today to say to Elijah that she would make sure he was killed, just like all the prophets of Baal, her god of choice, had been killed. Elijah had been working hard on God's behalf, remaining steadfast in his faith and in his work. And he had done so for a long time. He was tired, and he didn't think his efforts were really making any difference. When we encounter him in today's reading, he is in the midst of a magnificent pity party for himself. He was not only tired, he was completely exhausted. Have you ever been so tired you couldn't even think straight anymore? Elijah was in need of a HALT, H-A-L-T. Do you know this acronym from our siblings in 12-step programs? HALT. Never let yourself get too hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. Elijah was hungry, angry, lonely, and tired. And any of us, when we get one or more of those things, stuff usually starts to go sideways, doesn't it? Elijah needed a halt, and God provided him that interval. He slept a long time. And then an angel woke him up and told him to get up and eat more baking, a cake baked on hot stones and a jug of water. He ate. He went back to sleep. And the angel awakened him once more and said, get up and eat. Otherwise, the journey will be too much for you. In the strength of that much-needed rest and those two much-needed meals, Elijah journeyed 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Horeb, Mount Sinai, the mountain of God. He was renewed and replenished, and once more able to carry on with the work God had given to him. Get up and eat. Otherwise, the journey will be too much for you. Has your journey felt too much for you lately? What are you eating? Are you eating? What are you consuming, ingesting? Are you connecting with people? Are you feeling anger but letting it go? What are you taking into yourself, your body, mind, and spirit? Turning back to bread once more, to the importance of ingredients and mixing and kneading the dough, the second reading from the Epistle to the Ephesians tells us some things not to put in our dough: bitterness, wrath, anger, wrangling, slander, malice. These things have no place in our diet, no place in our bread recipe, and no place in our life together. It does say earlier in that Ephesians passage, be angry and sin not. So we will get angry. And when we feel anger, we should feel it and let it pass. Not hold on to it, not feed on it. not make it part of our steady diet. Rather, we should feed on the living bread, the very presence and availability of God that gives us life and makes life worth living. What we should put into our dough, individually and collectively as a community, are kindness and love and mercy. Be kind to one another, Ephesians says. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. This is the kind of bread we want to bake, modeled on Christ Jesus himself, the living bread sent by the I Am. This Jesus, who loved us and gave himself for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Amen.